time stands still. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Time stands still. It's interesting. We watch movies like I Bewitched and I Love Jeannie and Harry Potter and all these other things, and all the fantastical movies that they're producing out of Hollywood these days and everywhere else. And in the I Love Jeannie, Jeannie was locked in a bottle. And she was locked in this bottle for quite a while. And she was locked in that bottle until someone came to set her free, which one that person would be her master. And so she was locked in the bottle. And she was locked in the bottle for a short time or a long time. She was locked in the bottle for thousands of years or for timelessness. And whenever she would do something, she would bring the past into the present, because she always lived in the present. And so she would bring her past experiences into the present as though they were in the present. And in truth, they were in the present, because they were living in the present, even though they were in the past. Now, how many years did she sit in her bottle? How many thousands of years? Waiting for someone to open the bottle and free her and let her become their master, their slave, or whatever, their genie. Well, it was timeless. Now, we always think that time is so precious, and of course we really know that there is no time. But can you imagine how bored Jeannie would be with her most amusing mind bottled up, sitting there for 1,000 years doing nothing in her own little bottle? It seemed rather unusual. Well, she had to live her life by certain rules, because they always make rules for every type of a thing. And really, she didn't have to live by any rules, because what am I going to say next? There is always an
exception
to every rule. And if there's an exception to every rule, then there's no rule. But we believe in the rule. And so we play by the rule, not realizing that there are exceptions to it, and that these exceptions are the very things that make the rules invalid. So, but in any event, we say we have rules of living our life here as human beings, and we have rules of living our life as spiritually illumined beings. We have rules of living our life as God, as divine. We have rules as living our life of all these things, and we don't. We don't. The only question is, are you big enough to step out of the realm of rules in which you live and move into the realm of no rules? Are you big enough to step out of the realm of rules to the realm of no rules? Well, the answer is no, otherwise you'd be doing it. But I know that when a person, so to speak, dies, they have died and their corpse is decaying and their body is useless and gone and purposeless and so forth, and it's a crummy. Well, really? Now, if I say to you, Sylvia, I want you to take a vacation. Sylvia says, sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sylvia says, where am I going to go? And I said, that's up to you. But now, Sylvia, on this vacation that you're going to take, Are you going to take your old attitudes that you had when you were on your workaday world? Are you going to take the old attitudes that said, I get tired easily, and I've got to have certain foods or else I'm not happy. I've got to have my vitamins and minerals, and I got to have this and that, and I got to have. What if you were going on vacation and your ship left you on a desert island, surrounded by handsome young men and beautiful young ladies who were dancing and singing all the time and enjoying the coconuts and other things that they ate there, and there was just absolutely nothing to do. There are no clothes to wear, there's no problem with the sunburn, there's no problem with anything. It's your choice, really, because you said you wanted a vacation from everything, and so you did. So you got it. Now, could you feel sorry for yourself? Oh, yes. You could very well feel sorry for yourself. I'm on stranded on a desert island, and how do I get back? Well, what do you want to get back for? You wanted to go there. You see, you wanted to get away from the everyday activities that you'd been doing all the time before, and you wanted this vacation. So, now, were you specific in defining your vacation? Mm-hmm. Were you specific? You just said, oh, it'd be so wonderful to be on a desert island with no worries and no concerns and, you know, everything that I want and everything. Well, you got it. Now, what if you were Sylvia that said, I am a desktop publisher. I am a genius in creativity, and I like to create things. I like to create beautiful books and beautiful magazines and beautiful emails and beautiful whatever there is to create, you know, blogs and what have you. And so I'm standing next to Sylvia while she's saying this, and Sylvia says, I would like to just be able to express my creativity so beautiful, I would just have so many ideas that there'd just never be enough minutes in the day to do it all. And I'd have so much energy and so much joy in doing it. I'd love to do it. And then I say, Sylvia, is that really what you'd like to do? Are you sure you wouldn't like just to have a box of bonbons and sit on the couch and watch TV, you know? Are you sure? Oh, yes, I would just love to be a creative genius, you know, be Michelangelo at his peak, you know? Be Sylvia at her peak. And I'd say, well, Sylvia, it is done. Look! And Sylvia disappears. Sylvia disappears from the world in which she cannot do the things she wants to do. Sylvia disappears from the world in which she has other responsibilities than the things that she thinks she'd like to do, like desktop publishing. So, now Sylvia's in this wonderful world with the top-of-the-line computers, the top-of-the-line broadband, the top-of-the-line internet, the top-of-the-line everything, and she has the freedom to create whatever she wants. She can create any kind of magazine she wants, or any type of book she wants, or any type of anything she wants. And there, it is timeless. And so she says to herself, okay, I shall create a book on positive thinking. Yeah, that's nice. And on this book on positive thinking is going to be a book on positive thinking of how little children can be trained in positive thinking, how young people can be trained in positive... No, I think I'll write a number of books. My first book will be on how little children can be trained in positive thinking, with lots of illustrations so that parents will get the idea. And then I stick my nose into Sylvia's ear and I say, Sylvia, you're doing this for yourself. You're not trying to impress anybody else. How beautifully would you do it for yourself? If you were just pleasing yourself, if you were just revealing what you feel would be the ideal way to raise children, the ideal way to encourage them to be the God that they are, the geniuses that they are, what would you say? Don't think what they're going to say, because they cannot say anything until you're done. What do you say? And so then you say, well, let's see. Ah, yes. First page is a newborn angel, just born. Well, Sylvie said, let's see now, the newborn angel, no hair, no hair, whatever. Thin or chubby or whatever. A healthy boy or girl, whatever, you know. And you have to decide these things, you know. These big decisions. Now, what is that original creative piece of art that's going to be on the cover of your book and then the first page in your book that's going to tell the story that you're talking about babies and how babies can be unfolded to reveal all of the genius that they are? Okay. So, she chooses a baby. And buck, out of nowhere, buck, it's there. It's exactly what she wants. Okay. Then, her next step, and this is a killer, her next step is, okay, what is it that a little child would like to do in coming into this expression and being born? What would a little child like to do and being born in this world? And so Sylvia has a harebrained idea. Well, I'll ask a child. I'll ask the baby. So Sylvia says, well, what's the best way for me to ask a baby? Well, for me to be one. So she creates herself as a baby, and then she says to herself, now, what are the things that really would delight me in this world, that would sort of encourage me and inspire me to do all the things that I am, and what am I? And then the inner voice in her says, are you really interested? And Sylvie says, well, yes. And so next thing you know, Sylvie's not a baby. She's an idea. She's a concept. And then she says, well, now this is cool, but where does the concept get the ideas of the concept that it is? So then she goes back further into her allness, and she is aware of what her thinking brought forth out of the allness, what she chose, what kind of a body she chose, what kind of a mind she chose, what kind of a world she chose, what kind of experiences she chose. And perhaps the world that we have is not too far off of what the children really want. And maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. So Sylvia has this idea, and she says, wow, this is cool. Every child has gone to the great storehouse in the universe and picked out the suit of clothes, the body, the mind, the attitudes, the world experiences, the life experiences that they'd like to have. But that's all changeable, of course, but they picked it out. And so this is the general format that they got. So they're born into a poor, poor family that has no money and poor health and everything else. And then the family all die. And then it is adopted by a rich, rich, rich family and given all of the benefits that it could possibly want. Now, it can do that. It can do that. Once it finds itself in a strait that is not its choice, it can choose to be recreated in the strait that it likes. You know, that's not impossible. That's not impossible. He doesn't have to have his poor parents die. He can just have his poor parents become rich, and also with that, become quality rich. Mm-hmm. You know, not nouveau rich, but quality rich. And so, well, that's also an interesting idea. Okay, so here this little shrimp is just, you know, coming out of the womb and already has a whole package going, already knows exactly what it's doing. But it plays the game, and it has allowed itself to play the game that it has chosen to play. Now, okay, you think that a person dies. All they are is they have taken this magnificent mind that they've developed for thousands of years, and they used a body for a period of time, and then they goofed. they let the body get sick and die. They let the body have problems. Instead of maintaining the body 100% on a positive level of thinking, they let the body drift off to a non-positive level. So, it's really these people, these consciousness, who have died, who have left their body, who gathered themselves a new body and a new lifestyle, but they don't remember them. They start out like a blank, without any limitations. Now, some like to look into their background, they like to look into their past, and they, oh, isn't this charming, isn't this charming? Well, it's only charming if you want to limit yourself to your past. What is your future now? What has being this in the past prepared you for being what you are now in the present? Has this prepared you to be a genius, a master, a fabulous person, or has it prepared you just to have more of the same problems? You know? It's all up to what direction we want to go. So, here's this big brain Sylvia, you know, going back and checking all these things out and finding out these things. And so then Sylvia says, wow, this is fascinating. You know, this is, you know, interesting. So she writes her first book, and books on the baby, and of course the books on all this stuff, and she publishes it. Now, she doesn't publish it in a normal publishing house. She publishes it so that every home in the world has a copy in their language with all the pictures, and everyone has an email, e-copy, e-book, you know, and everyone has has it on tape. And everyone, if she wishes, being who she recognizes who she is, she can say, this book of mine now is in the heart of every being on earth in the future, past, or present. Uh-oh. Yeah, wow. Now, but here's something that's not so good. You don't get any royalties.
Yeah, that's okay.
You don't get any royalties. Of course, you are rich as can be, but you don't get any royalties, and you're not interested in. Now that's just one segment of the possibility of you. Now, what do you want to do? You want to go on a vacation? You don't want to go on a vacation. You want to escape from something. You want to run away from something. If you want to go on a vacation, you have an idea of what you want to do. You have a certain, not a dream, but you have a vision of what that vacation is going to include. And you couldn't accidentally be on a desert island if you didn't choose to be it. Because why? There are no accidents. Bless you. There are no accidents, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so if you ever get shit on by anybody, it's your choice. You're in the wrong place. But the thing is, there are no accidents. And nothing happens by chance. Now, why not, I suggest, that we, knowing this, determine what we're going to do for our non-accident activities. What are we going to do that didn't happen by chance? How does it happen? By putting a
cause in motion.
By putting a
cause in motion.
Yeah. By putting a
cause in motion.
By putting a
cause in motion.
By putting a
cause in motion.
Ingeborg?
Yes, sir.
By putting a
definite cause in motion.
Putting a what? So
a definite cause.
A definite cause. You do like to get your 2 cents in there, don't you? Okay. By putting a definite cause in motion. And that is true. So and that's true, we want to have a definite cause, not just a general run-of-the-mill cause. We want a definite cause. Why? Why, Ingeborg?
It comes through.
We want a definite cause in motion because that definite cause is what is going to come true for us.
Yes.
And that's what we want to do. Now, how do we get it? By
being one-pointed.
Having ourselves self-disciplined. And self-discipline is the most difficult chore everyone has because we have all learned not to be self-disciplined. Mm-hmm. I tell people, I want to be myself and have fun, and that's all I'm doing in my life. And they say, oh, that's all I'm going to do too. I said, no, it isn't. I said, you want to be me and have fun. And that's not what you really want. Now, I have started the university here because I wanted to share some of the thoughts that I had. I don't care if anybody attends. I don't care if I have seminars. I don't care if I have television or radio. If it's there, I'm there. And I'm happy, happy, happy. If it's not there, I'm happy, happy, happy.
No.
But the thing is, I am not creating my world for giving. I am creating my world for
being.
Living. For being myself and having fun. For living. I'm creating my world for being myself and having fun. I'm not creating my world for being somebody else.
No.
Now, Ellen has chosen to come to the university. And she's, oh, it's so great, it's so great. And Herb is so wonderful, and this is that, and everything. And I say, that's nice. Now, Ellen, what about you? Are you great? Are you wonderful? Are you doing what you want to do? Ellen, do you have any problem at all? If you have any problem at all, you have been giving something attention that you don't want to have.
Okay.
Any problem that you have, you've been giving your attention to something that you don't want to have. Now, stop it. Now, unless that's what you really want. And why does a little child irritate his father?
To get attention.
Why does a little child irritate his father until his father gives him a spanking?
Because of the attention he gets.
Because the spanking is attention. And sometimes that's the only attention he gets. Now, how many people do you know? And please, don't tell me any. How many people do you know who go to the hospital because that's the only place they get flowers or that people come to visit them?
Oh, yes.
At home, nobody comes to visit them. They're sitting in their living room night and day watching TV or doing whatever, and nobody comes knocking on the door. The salesman comes on the door, they grab and pull in the house. Tell me what you want to sell. Well, what do you got to sell? What do you got to sell? You know, they want some attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much of them are you like that? Yeah. How many of you cannot let go of the past? How many of you have a dead mother, a dead father, a dead sister, a dead brother, a dead aunt, a dead uncle, a dead friend? You know, how many of you have dead people in your world? And how sad that is, because they're not dead. They left a body, they left a used car behind that they weren't using anymore. And you know what science wants to do? They want to take the parts of that car and use it for somebody else if possible, you know? Because they don't wear out. But you have allowed your body to wear out. You have allowed yourself to get tired of your body, so you turn off the vital systems. You did that. Nobody else. You did that because you were getting tired of this game and you couldn't figure out any way of getting around it. And you couldn't say to yourself, hey, I'm going to be me. I'm going to take a trip around the world. You? Where are you going to get the money? I don't know. How are you going to go? I don't know. I'm going to take a trip around the world. And so they call you a vagabond. And you have no money, no clothes, no nothing. You just put the clothes on your body. And so you head off for around the world. So you go through states and states and so forth. And so you want to get on a tramp steamer or something to go across the ocean to go in other parts of the world and go here. And you know, the vagabonds, they always come home. They always come home because they don't think anything can happen to them. And nothing does happen to them. They're not worried about where they go, that there are diseases or there are problems or there are wars and stuff. They walk right through the war untouched. A vagabond is one who is careless about what's on the outside. He's just on the inside journey and having fun. It's like a baby in the crib. The baby finds its toes in paradise. And there's nothing bigger deal about or bad about. And if the house falls in and kills the baby, so what? You know, you say, oh, that's terrible. No. The baby is doing what it likes to do. But think of it. How often does a house fall in on a baby who's chewing on his toes?
It doesn't fit.
You see, the baby is in his paradise.
Yeah.
Now, It's true, sometimes this happens, you hear about something. But what happened is the baby is living in a house of fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. He's not living in a house of love, of peace and harmony. Now, what's Sylvia going to do? Is Sylvia going to write her books? Does she need to have her computers? Does she need to have printing presses? Does she need to have this and that and the other thing? In A Dweller on Two Planets, we read about this guy who wrote this beautiful book, and he stuck it in a little box. And then, pop, 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 out of the box pop books, fully published, with everything in perfect order, everything perfectly bound, I mean, all the typeset done, everything. You know, I mean, cool. You go around, carry the little box, and people want your book. Here, pop, pop. You don't have to carry a big load of them. And the box doesn't weigh anything because the book isn't in it yet. The book is just an idea in the box. And it's cool. It's cool. Now, these things of genie are pretty interesting. These things of Bewitched, Samantha, are pretty interesting. These things of Harry Potter are pretty interesting. And these things are not strange. They're not strange. They're happening all the time. But you and I do not have our eyes open to see it because it's not logical. It's unreasonable. It is totally wrong. We look at Jeannie when she says, well, I can't do that because of this reason. And we say to her, well, you could do anything. Well, it's true. She cannot do that because of this reason. She cannot get herself out of a locked filing cabinet because she cannot open it from the outside. She cannot open it from the inside. But she can take the locked filing cabinet and put it next to her master and say, Master, open the drawer. And he opens the drawer and out she comes, you know. Now, you see, they're total illogic, total irreverence, total stupidity, if you will. And that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Now, could she do that? Could she do whatever she wanted to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that she put herself on this sandy beach where Major Anthony is going to mm-hmm. drop his, Major Nelson is going to drop his mm-hmm. thing, you know? Spacecraft? Sure. And why not? And this happens often. How many people in our lives are genies? How many people in our lives are witches and warlocks? How many people in our lives are angels? How many people in our lives are God? All of them. And all playing their game as they see fit. Now, are you going to say you don't like being on a desert island? Yeah. Well, why did you go there?
Yeah.
Are you going to say you don't like being here in the monastery because you had to be with people that don't turn you on and you have to do things that don't turn you on and you don't have a chance to go off and do the things that do turn you on? Well, I can tell you one thing. If turning you on is studying diseases, then this is not the place to be. It is not the place to be. If turning you on is studying how to get rid of the little maladies that you stub your toe with, then this isn't the place to be. You stubbed your toe because you wanted to stub your toe and you wanted your toe one to get attention. Hey, my body doesn't get any attention. Just imagine if you were a genie, for instance, and you decided that you wanted to go through life naked. And so you went through life naked. And you said, any person who comes within 30 feet of me is also naked. And it's the most normal thing in the world. And so wherever you go, all these people are just naked, and they're not touched by, no shoes, no socks, no nothing. They can walk on any pavement they're on, because they don't really walk on the pavement, and they are clothed in nothing, and their temperature is always perfect. They don't even know they have a body. It is idea. They look at their body, they say, Dark Zachary, or the Adonis, you know. It is only idea. And then, if anybody comes into their world with anger in their world, they walk into their 30-foot aura or 100-mile aura or whatever they want to call it, and when they walk in there, they completely forget all their anxiety, and they are one with everyone, not just you. They're one with everyone.
Yes.
And all is peace. And you think, gee, it'd be fun to drive in a car, and you'd have a car. Gee, it'd be fun to just be there, and you'd be there. And so here you are. You're going to the Metropolitan
Opera.
Thank you. You're going to the Metropolitan Opera, and you get into the opera, and you're naked. And so within 30 feet of you, everybody's naked. And nobody thinks a thing about it because everybody's naked. But the thing is, within 30 feet of them, everybody's naked too. You know? And so, but the thing is, other people may not be included over here because they're not in that 30 feet. But in the 30 feet, but I mean, that gets to be pretty big. And so, and ever expanding. And so then, you are sitting next to the stage. And so the performers are all up there naked. And you say to yourself, gee, that's beautiful. You know, they are so beautiful. And what lovely bodies they have and how beautiful they are. And it's fantastic. You don't even think of it. Now, if I said to them, well, they had their costumes on. They had their stage costumes on. They were playing a particular role in the theater. And they had the stage costumes on for playing. You wouldn't think that was strange at all. And if I said they were naked, you wouldn't think it's strange at all. It all depends on where your consciousness is. Now, can you put that cause in motion to have that effect? Sure can. Do some people do that? Sure.
Yes.
Do you not know about it?
Yes.
Sure. Can you imagine if the Border Patrol came driving onto our property and they came to the gate and they'd stop their car and they'd get out of their car, and all their clothes would be left in their car, locked in their car, and then they'd come walking on our property looking around for their international travelers, and when they get to an international traveler, he too would be naked, you know, and defenseless, and without any problems, and they would say, come on, go back home, go back across the border, don't make us chuck you across the border, come on, you know, and then if they really wanted to, they would, as a United States, they would make a border. And the border would say, from south to north, anyone is welcome to come through this border who agrees to follow the program of the United States. And right at this moment, it is to become a citizen instantly, speak only English, and so forth and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so each person who comes through would have that. Now, for us to go to Mexico, or unless they're a tourist or something like that, you know, that's allowed too. But now, if we go to Mexico and we don't want to live there, we want to be tourists. Maybe we want to live there, but we just be tourists. So we go through that gate, so to speak, and as we go through it, we agree to be honorable tourists, and all of Mexico is the Haracha, happy time stuff. No violence, no thievery, no negative stuff whatsoever. And same with the United States. Now, when are we going to start?
Now.
Now, we could go on little details if you like. And it seems like you like it, didn't you? You do that. But start going right now and create that right now. And it is done right now. We have created a world that is not quite up to par. Now, we can create a world that is up to par by our thought, by putting the cause in motion that all is in divine order. Right, Ingeborg? All is in divine order.
Yes.
All is in divine order, and it's done
now.
Well, that's a starter.
Good one.
Now, do you think Sylvia is ever going to think that wherever she is not the most ideal place in the world?
No.
And whatever she's doing is not the most ideal thing in the world?
No.
And that she's going to be creative and come up with all sorts of new possibilities? Her enjoyment is not in getting away from something. Her enjoyment is in revealing the genius that's within her, as it is with all of us. Have a wonderful morning, have a wonderful day, have a wonderful life, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.